he muttered and raised a finger. With a delicate motion, he waved it back and forth. That strange music filled the air, and spears condensed, moving back and forth to a strange rhythm. These spears smashed against the 7 leaping spear users. Before the spears could land, there was a soft tinkling of laughter. A woman with a long, dark pink dress with sleeves that covered her hands stepped up on the far boats.
"Don't you think your reaction is a bit too violent, Dveltian?"
An image of a spear growing upwards like a vine out of the earth appeared in the air, smashing into the musical spears. Staggering backward, Randidly couldn't hide his surprise at how powerful the shockwave between the two moves was. "Is this the power that adepts can wield?" The 7 leaping figures were buffeted by the winds, but the leader seemed able to disperse most of the force with a spear strike of his own. Still, the momentum of their leap was destroyed, and the leader was forced to produce a small boat that they landed on, bobbing up and down on the water. For several seconds, the woman, Dveltian, and the 7 spear users regarded each other. It was a long, dragging silence. Then Dveltian cleared his throat.
"To dare attempt to board a boat without permission, that sort of behavior is best nipped in the bud."
The leader of the 7's face darkened. Randidly noted the speckled gray spots that covered half his face, as though he had almost become forsaken in the past.
"You fool! You usurped that boat from Uncle Izzy, a close personal friend. Those who dare behave like thieves should not complain about the attitude of others. You even sabotaged his enterprise by dumping his wares. This will not stand. It is the opinion of the First Spear of Catal."
"If the First Spear had such an opinion," Dveltian drawled, "then why hasn't he appeared and made it known? Do not casually use the name of your betters, boy."
The man flushed, and his boat began to slowly drift closer. Dveltian folded his arms behind his back and spoke quietly so only Randidly and his 3 spear attendants could hear.
"Listen very carefully. That man is Jaktat of the Thunderhammer style. He is a kept spear under the Merchant Association here, but before he sold out and lost his edge, he did have the legitimate power of an artisan. Shawl will be busy with his training, and I..."
The woman in the dark pink dress waved brightly at the group, as if she knew exactly what was being discussed, even across the water. Her senses must be incredibly sharp.
"Have an old friend to deal with. I will not be able to assist with these 7.
Dveltian tilted his head to the side and squinted his eyes.
"I do not know any of them aside from Jaktat, which leads me to expect they are simply common bullies. But it will still be 2 versus 1 for you 3. Be careful."
Helen smiled wickedly. Telef just snorted. The male spear attendant stood with his jaw hanging open. After how the man handled Randidly's attack, he winced inwardly at the prospect of him fighting multiple opponents. Randidly breathed in and out very slowly, clear on what Dveltian was saying. If Shawl really was occupied, then that meant the pleasure of entertaining Jaktat fell to him. He spared a glance for the woman and her long pink sleeves. Who was this that it made Dveltian with the power of an adept so serious? Why were so many adept-level people squirming out of the woodwork?
"This world is so dangerous, but that means that those who survived cannot be underestimated."
As the truth of their situation hit the male spear attendant, he asked,
"But how can we manage 2 versus 1? I can't even..."
Dveltian sighed.
"Fool! Stop comparing yourself to the spear users you train with. Helen has a grace that is almost genius. Telef is implacable and methodical. Randidly is unrelenting and willing to brutalize his mind and body for power. You are just a spear user with an average amount of talent. But talent doesn't mean everything. Where you train is often the more determinative factor in terms of outcomes. You've lucked into a special location. If for nothing else, be confident in your dumb luck. Now quiet. They are arriving.
Randidly smiled at the compliment, and even Telef seemed to lightly flush at the praise. Unfortunately, the male spear attendant didn't seem very reassured by what Develtian said, and his face twisted in horror, panic clear at the edges of his eyes. Randidly shrugged inwardly. The man would either realize the truth of Divit's words, or he wouldn't. The seven climbed regally onto the boat, glaring around. Behind Jaktat, there was a large man with extremely thick arms, a pudgy man, a wispy-looking fellow, two women whose similar features marked them as family, perhaps twins, and a grim-faced man who carried at least six spears on his back. Jaktat leveled his spear at Develtian.
Now, old man, prepare to eat your fucking words. I'll make sure you repay every fucking cent you owe Uncle Izzy.
Ah, you are confused. I get it. Your rampaging teenage hormones, Develtian said breezily, shooing Jaktat away. But I won't be bothering with you. Perhaps you should fight one of the younger generation, so it's more fair. I wouldn't want your donkey of a father showing up to complain like this in a week if I paint the deck with your blood.
Randidly stepped forward, summoning the huge obsidian spear he now knew once belonged to Healthing. Glancing at it, he admired how regal and imposing it was, but he couldn't wrap his mind around the impression hearing the story had given him of Healthing in comparison with the spear. Sure, it was dark and dangerous-looking, but it was the danger of a mountain path sunk in shadow. It was not an evil thing, just a brutal one.
Divit is right. I'm willing to endure a lot for power. His fingers tightened on the shaft. But the question I haven't really asked. Has it worked? Have I grown after suffering for so long?
Randidly's reverie was interrupted by vicious laughter.
What? Fine, I'll crush this bug, then drag you out, old man. You know what? Let's crush them all. Gang up on them and make them pay, boys.
The disciples spread, their smiles thin and evil. With a lecherous grin, the huge man and the pudgy one walked towards Helen. The wispy guy and the man with six spears closed in on Telef. The male spear attendant suppressed a dumb little smile as the female twins slunk towards him.
Don't die quickly, Jaktat hissed. I want them to see every second of your pain and regret letting me break you, Randidly of the Emerald Eyes. There is a modest bounty on your tassel, too, in the right circles, so I'll enjoy this.
Randidly wasn't really listening to his words, though. It would just distract him. Instead, he focused on his breathing, reaching inside himself and touching the ether that waited there. As Randidly pressed with his will, it began to flow, like the deepest part of a frozen stream in winter. The movement was small, but it would make upping the ante in battle easier. His heart rate increased, his pupils dilated. Sometimes, utilizing that energy felt like consuming a drug. It was strange. Randidly was nervous. He fought many people in his 2 years in prison, but that felt different somehow, isolated from the world. And it was a wild and informal thing, those brawls, done more for survival than anything else. Here, however, there were rites and rituals, different ways of speaking. This was a battle for honor and respect. And as soon as Randidly thought that, he smiled, his nerves broken. He fell into a fighting stance. That was why this felt strange. Even from Jaktat's words, although he wanted to crush Randidly, there was never any hint of killing intent. The purpose was to humiliate him and strip him of his tassel. When the stakes were so low, it was hard to get serious. Like Divit said, this was a man who had been bought and long ago lost his edge. That was simply the way he acted and fought. Skill levels didn't decay, as far as Randedly knew, so there would be within him a hint of the man who seized the title of artisan.
You can't see the threat looming above this world. Even with those gray splotches on their face, you remain fixated on the present. Against someone like you, I won't lose, or else all this struggle has been in vain.
Randedly was pleased by the surprise in the man's face when he attacked first, activating haste, empower, and mana strengthening to leap and use sweep, smashing into Jaktat's defense. All around, Randedly's move served as the signal to attack, and his spear attendants moved in unison with him. Jaktat grunted and took a step back, but it seemed more from surprise than anything else. The powerful thrust he launched in reply proved his skills hadn't atrophied entirely. The attack smashed Randedly backwards and ripped a minuscule bit of flesh off his shoulder. Randedly's eyes narrowed. He had been far too careless, attacking him directly. It was an old, bad habit left over from his earliest fights when the system arrived. But he had spent 2 years learning how to fight in different ways, and it was time to show the world how much he'd changed. And not just the world, but himself too. To prove he had the strength to stand up against the powerful youth he would be forced to fight in the regional tournament. That he possessed the strength to crush them. When Jaktat rushed forward, his blows heavy, not Shaw level of heavy, but still powerful, Randedly began to use Spear Phantom's footwork and moved around the attacks, getting in shots where he could. He weaved and ducked under strikes, the twisting footwork allowing him to move with near impunity. Jaktat released a growl and attacked with renewed vigor, which of course was exactly the wrong sort of thing to do. Jaktat might be powerful, but he was not as powerful as those Randedly trained with, and that was all he had, power. There was none of the grace and speed of Shaul, and none of the impossibly perfect attacks Marco Polo used, combinations based on years of experience. Randedly's eyes began to glow as the ether flowed freely in his chest. He could do this. He could defeat an artisan.
Chapter 95.
Helen's grin was wicked, even when the two men's expressions changed from lust to a viral seriousness. "Fucking perverts," she said, laughing inwardly. She swayed between their admittedly powerful, though rough, attacks. Although they were both fine spear users, they had no concept of teamwork, resulting in their overall utility being heavily inhibited by each other. Their skills and methods were not complementary at all. Soon, their serious gazes turned into annoyance when they were as much foiled by each other as they were Helen. The large man slashed diagonally with his spear. Helen easily swayed under the blow, and the pudgy man sprung forward, executing a fearsome thrust. She pirouetted to the side, the thrust ripping a small gash in her leather armor. The large man, now rushing at Helen's exposed back, had to hastily jump to the side to avoid the pudgy man's blow. The two men glared at each other for a second, then grudgingly turned back to Helen. Their eyes once more regained a lustful tint as they traced Helen's curves. Normally, Helen would be infuriated by the flagrant disregard of her skill as a spear user, and even now that was annoying, but the dodging, the flowing moves, something was coming alive inside of Helen. It was a cool, icy electricity, a lump of spinning stardust in her chest that animated her whole body. Tingling streams flowed outward, and she felt strangely alive. Several small bits of information came together in her mind. The energy released by Randedly in the past, which still minutely breathed within her. It reminded her of the way her mother always recommended that Helen find a man who could complete dungeons and sleep with him immediately after he returned from a victorious dungeon. It was pretty common knowledge that a man's seed contained some fraction of the ether he collected in his body, and a woman could take some for herself by using her body. Which at the time disgusted Helen. Not that she had any interest in sex, especially with the leather workers she'd grown up around. It was repugnant to her that she would effectively trade her body for a night in exchange for a bit of ether. She already obtained some from her class. What was the point in having more? But now the prospects of such, with this wondrous energy coursing through her, practically sculpting itself according to her will. Helen's heart rate was skyrocketing. At the same time, her vision became strangely bright and pristine. It was like the two men in front of her were slow-moving monkeys trying to catch her. The large man smashed downward with a powerful blow. Helen flowed around it, her spear flicking out to hit him in the side, sending him stumbling. The pudgy man blanched, seeing Helen approach like a swift death, but he was still a spear user. He raised his spear in a defensive posture and thrust to meet her advance. Helen breathed deeply, the stardust in her chest now exploding outward, like a levee bursting and unleashing a flood. She had to hold that breath, because the strange feeling made it impossible for her to contract her lungs. It was a strange stasis, and to her surprise, her senses continued to sharpen to a point, every detail of the pudgy man appearing before her eyes. Congratulations, your skill set, the river's three bends, uncommon, can undergo a change. Would you like to allow this to happen? Warning, this will require a large quantity of energy. If you possess insufficient fuel, weakness or death may result. Do you wish to proceed? Helen didn't even think about it. She didn't know of anyone who was truly willing to pass up the opportunity to have their own created skill set or to expand it, because it was a path to a future you forged for yourself. Helen thought, yes, and she was filled with a rush of inspiration. Congratulations, your skill set has become the river's four bends, rare. You have learned the skill, the fourth bend, surging rapids, uncommon, level one. With blazing eyes, Helen surged, passing the thrust of the pudgy man, and her spear ripped upward, knocking his weapon so it pointed towards the sky, leaving the pudgy man's body completely unprotected. His eyes widened in horror. The large man launched an attack at Helen's back, but she was already bursting forward, filled with the strange ferocity of her fourth bend, surging rapids. She brought her spear across and smashed the pudgy man so far he hit the railing of the boat and tumbled over. "Fucking perverts," Helen said gleefully, turning to face the larger man, whose expression was quite ugly. Wincing, Randidly once more dodged to the side. His spear flicked out and ripped a small gash in Jaktat's cheek, but the man was a furious god of war now, ignoring the damage and smashing with his spear. It was appropriate that this man had a thunder-related style. He definitely had the power and delivery to back it up. Although the real problem, Randidly's eyes flicked sideways, gauging the broader battlefield. The deck of the ship had always appeared spacious to Randidly. Only four battles now raged across it. Telef and Helen were doing well enough, but the other male spear attendant retreated constantly, his numerous wounds leaking blood. The twins led him like a panicked bovine, hemming in Randidly's movements. When he was forced to clash against Jaktat directly, Randidly's earlier statement of having the strength to stand up against an artisan felt slightly hollow. Sure, he inflicted quite a few small wounds, but unless he could overcome Jaktat's power, the man had enough battle rhythm to make it increasingly difficult to land any hits that would inflict real damage. Roaring, Jaktat advanced, smashing his spear back and forth. Randidly retreated, using Phantom Half-Step and Spear Phantom's footwork to maintain a pretty solid grip on the distance between them. However, the twins lashed out at the spear attendant and sent him stumbling backward. Randidly slammed his foot down, the sole of his foot skidding over the rough wooden deck, cutting his retreat short. His emerald eyes flashed with light. His ether shuddered in his chest. I cannot keep retreating, otherwise I'll be trapped against the railing. He stepped directly into his opponent's path. Jaktat's gray-splotched face instantly stretched into a grin. He brought his spear up for an overhead strike. Such was the momentum, the weapon flexed into a curved state. For a brief moment, he thought he heard the phantom boom of thunder from the attack. Biting his lip, Randidly continued to advance, twisting his body. Congratulations. Your skill, Grace, has grown to level 40.
Potion must be wearing off, Randomly noted distantly.
While the blade of Jaktat's weapon missed him, but the shaft whipped down across his chest with enough force to burn him with friction. He completed the step and the strike smashed into the ground. Randley was too close to bring the obsidian spear to bear, but he whipped his left arm around and slammed his fist into Jaktat's side. Congratulations, your skill fighting proficiency has grown to level 82. Jaktat's eyes bulged.
You!
By then, Randley was past him, now in the open middle of the ship deck, while the spear attendants fought along the edges. Randley took advantage of that space to stab while weaving, hitting a few glancing blows on Jaktat's arms. That didn't slow the raging man down at all. In fact, it seemed to incense him further, and he charged, his heavy spear raised. Grimacing, Randley danced back, allowing Jaktat to overextend. He definitely would have preferred to have a lighter spear at times like this, when he was completely eclipsed in terms of power. Someday, Randley vowed to himself, someday he would bully others with the power of his strikes.
But for now, I just need the perfect chance, Randley thought. Another miss like that, but with me in a better position to take advantage.
His control of 200 was making itself known in the way Randley was able to easily maneuver his body to where he wanted, keeping Jaktat from being able to find his footing. Randley's calves exploded with force when his opponent unleashed an inopportune sweep. After leaping to the side and rushing under Jaktat's guard, he managed to wriggle the large spear and puncture a sizable gash in the man's side. Randley took the moment when Jaktat hissed in pain to examine the status of his spear attendants. Helen's seemed to have already beaten one of her enemies, and the second was retreating in a very sorry state. With a pleased smile, Randley looked to Telef, who had also defeated one of his opponents, the man with six spears, and was now clashing in a flurry of blows against the wispy man, who had a strange, unpredictable style of fighting. Although it seemed this battle was less settled than Helen's, it remained even, and Randley wouldn't have to worry about them gaining victory anytime soon and harassing him. But the male spear attendant, Randley sighed. The twins were bringing him around again to try and restrict Randley's mobility. He really should just learn the man's name, because he was no longer the only male spear attendant. Randley just had this weird suspicion that asking the man his name would end up encouraging him to go on a long monologue about himself, when Randley simply wanted something else to call him. The risk was too great, and the benefit was not worth the cost. A smashing overhand blow from Jaktat caught Randley by surprise, forcing him to block it directly. His arms trembled, and the planks of the boat underneath him groaned from the force.
Damn it! Can't get distracted now.
Following up, Jaktat twisted and brought the spear around in a horizontal sweep. Randley made to dodge, but staggered, barely managing to get his cramping legs to obey him. It wasn't just strength, it was also a mild paralysis effect to Jaktat's attacks that made it dangerous to continue to fight directly against him. So this was the effect of the Thunderhammer style. Randley was forced to use Phantom Half-Step and blow quite a bit of stamina to fully dodge. Randley instantly sucked up all the stamina stored in the rings on his hands, replenishing his stores, but his chest was still heaving. And only now was feeling slowly working its way back into his legs. His toes twitched. Jaktat sneered.
All you can do is run. This is a disgrace. You still dare claim you have the strength to resist me?
All you can do is swing wildly at the air. Don't act like your successes are anything but the result of block-headed repetition, Randley snapped.
He immediately regretted engaging Jaktat, mostly because of the interaction with such a detestable stranger, but the words did seem to fit another purpose. Jaktat's face twisted, his eyes somehow narrowed and overly opened at once, resembling a goat's.
Good, 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 good!
A strange new energy crackled around Jaktat's body. So far, Randley had simply dealt with the man's superior skill levels and likely stats, but now... Randley had a feeling he would find out what the man used to earn himself the title of artisan. In the darkness of his cabin, Shaw breathed. He breathed so slowly. There were several minutes between breaths. He did not do this because he needed to breathe. His vitality and endurance were far above the levels where it was necessary to engage in such things. Shaw continued to breathe in order to keep time. He sensed the clashes beginning above, and had sealed away his senses so nothing would distract him. Even that much was a small burden on his pitiable amount of ether, which he couldn't afford. It was a frustrating situation. So Shaw continued to breathe, counting the minutes past. He had to have patience. Necessarily, Shaw couldn't accomplish this himself. That was why he allowed this to happen. Randed Lee would be carrying most of the weight in the next portion. He would need to make it to the top 8 of the regional tournament. After that, was when Shaw needed his strength. For now, he simply breathed, waiting for the regional tournament. Chapter 96. Helen snorted, raising her blood-covered spear. The large man, who was so lustily looking at her body minutes ago, had collapsed in a puddle of his own blood, the gaping wounds Helen inflicted on him completely robbing him of his will to fight. Unbeknownst to that man, Helen too was very close to her limit. She felt a creeping weakness in her limbs, likely an after-effect from creating the new move for her skill set. Even though standing without the support of her spear was difficult, she was filled with a manic excitement. To improve a skill set's rarity was exceptionally rare. Usually an individual would create the skill set while they were young, train for years, and only once their body had a significant enough amount of pure ether embedded in it would they enter an isolation chamber and cause their skill set to evolve. But of course, Helen hadn't done that. She simply consumed that remaining small bit of ether she'd absorbed from the ghost hound that day. It made her surprisingly hot and cold at the same time. After recalling her mother's unique bit of wisdom, she was strangely turned on by the prospect of some fraction of him remaining inside of her should she lay with him, though also cold because of what it meant about the ghost hound and the purity of the ether he contained inside of him already. Where did all that ether come from? Not only had she increased the rarity of the skill set, she'd also added a move, which was more common, but the two combined made it that much more likely to be successful in the future. Hell, if people knew she possessed this level of skill set, and if she was a talented teacher, Helen could probably create her own style with a nice amount of success, especially in an area like Katal. That was for later. For now, Helen looked around. Telif was wounded, but the wispy man was worse, and their attacks were growing increasingly sharp and desperate. The male spear attendant was still getting beat to shit by the female twins, though their attacks were getting shallower and shallower. Or, if it wasn't just Helen's imagination, his created skill was becoming increasingly powerful and sharp the more he was abused. He seemed to thrive on it, to which Helen felt no small amount of disgust. She supposed she shouldn't complain that the fool was finally finding some measure of strength for himself. Less weight for Telif and herself to carry. Helen, almost unwillingly, turned her attention to the fight that was center stage. Develtian behind him, glaring at the woman with long sleeves, the ghost hound clashed against the man called Jaktat. Although Develtian had no trouble smashing Jaktat and his group to the ground, it seemed the artisan owned by the Merchant Association wasn't a pushover. The air around that man rippled, and Helen paled. This was it, the strength that could suppress others below the artisan level. Why, the categories had more meaning than just honor. It was a demarcation. Bolts of lightning began to gather and spin around Jaktat's spear, becoming increasingly dense and crystal clear, losing the ethereal quality of an image and seeming to become reality.
I have no quarrel with you, but you do not know your own strength. Prepare to die by the hand of your own foolishness, Jaktat intoned.
He spun his spear lazily for a second and rushed forward, moving so quickly his form blurred. To her surprise, the ghost hound simply stood there. Then he glanced meaningfully side to side. The female twins were brutalizing the male spear attendant, but they were far away. Telef and the wispy man were on the opposite side, near the stairway down to the cabins. There was quite a bit of space around them. The ghost hound had nowhere to run to. Helen became strangely relieved, because that expression was not the face of a man who feared the future. The ghost hound smiled wickedly. Raising the huge obsidian monstrosity he so easily manipulated like a light spear, shadows began to spin around his body, as though he sat the middle of a growing aura of darkness. That creeping shade whispered, and the barest hint of a woman's figure appeared behind him. The ghost hound accelerated, moving to meet Jaktat, who was still wreathed in lightning.
"Foolish boy! Skybreaker!"
Storm clouds swirled above the two battling individuals, and a thick bolt smashed downward, hitting the tip of Jaktat's spear, which began to crackle. Humming with power, Jaktat slashed towards the ghost hound's figure, but the ghost hound excelled at handling direct attacks. He surged in a burst of speed, then seemed to melt away like an ice sculpture on a hot beach, appearing on the other side of Jaktat's spear. Jaktat hissed, but the spear, still bursting with power, cut sideways and swept towards the ghost hound, who was now cutting down towards Jaktat's forearm. Jaktat's face contorted into a grin.
"Competing in speed? Well, huh?"
And Helen gasped too, because the ghost hound's spear seemed to teleport forward a short distance and ripped downwards into Jaktat's arm, cutting to the bone and dislodging that arm's grip on the spear. The weapon's tip began to drift to the side without a supporting hold.
"You!"
By the time Jaktat recovered, the ghost hound faded backward, creating some distance. Jaktat's eyes bulged, dark bags beginning to show under them, as if this long fight with the ghost hound was exceptionally trying. The gray splotches on his face began to stand out against his skin. Helen felt a presence to her left and turned to find a pale Telef. Telef just nodded to the side, and Helen looked to see the female twins on the ground, exhausted, with the male spear attendant standing above them, looking more like a disheveled pincushion than a person, but monologuing enthusiastically about his strength to the depleted women. Rolling her eyes, Helen turned back to the ghost hound and Jaktat. A win was a win, she supposed. It was still fucking cringy that he had the nerve to be so pompous about what was effectively an endurance contest. Even if he was shitty with a spear, his dedication to punishment was real. Although the ghost hound inflicted a serious injury on Jaktat, the artisan's eyes were not those of a defeated man. Instead, they were now deathly serious. It seemed he was finally starting to realize how this would end if he allowed things to continue as they were.
"This is the greatest outrage of my life," Jaktat said quietly,
and something about the way he said it made it seem exactly the opposite of that. His voice was no longer wild and vicious, it was cold and calculating. The ghost hound said nothing, adjusting his stance and waiting.
"Did you think this would be enough? This level of skill, this level of playing?"
Again, Jaktat spoke with an exaggerated, casual tone. One thing Helen knew for sure, from overhearing Telef talk about the ghost hound during his time in the prison, was that there was one thing the ghost hound exceeded in over all others. That was in speed of recovery. Jaktat's shoulders heaved with his deep breaths. Meanwhile, the ghost hound remained inexhaustible. Helen narrowed her eyes. There was something odd about Jaktat, about the increasingly dark bags under his eyes, and the way his face was growing pale and sinking toward the gray of the Forsaken. His eyes began to glow with a baleful paleness.
"He couldn't be," Helen gasped. "He knows how to push himself into a Forsaken hunger surge."
The ghost hound just watched, his eyes cool. The energy crackled with more abundance around Jaktat, soft lightning jumping from arm to arm, skipping over the large chunk missing from his one hand. He kept adjusting his grip. But he simply wasn't able to manage it with so much of his tendons and muscle mass missing. Everything about him seemed to lose color until he was a gray man bearing pale eyes.
"You've left me with no choice."
His eyes were so horribly bright.
"I didn't want this. You made me do it."
"If you aren't able to take responsibility for your own decision," the ghost hound replied, "you are even weaker than I thought."
"You fucking... none of you fucking take me seriously."
Jaktat raised his spear, glaring manically down at the deck.
"Shaul cannot be disturbed below," Dveltian said suddenly.
The ghost hound's eyes narrowed. He activated his strange ability and accelerated again. Bits of ash spun through the air behind him as he closed the distance and slammed his spear against Jaktat's.
"Gotcha."
Those pale eyes glowed in triumph as Jaktat absorbed the blow that would have previously staggered him. While burning his remnant life energy, his stats had risen to a monstrous degree. He bodily shoved Randidly back, and then replied with a thrust of his own. With quick movements, Randidly blocked. The explosion was accompanied by the crackle of electricity, and although most of the energy was dispersed, the ghost hound's body began to twitch and seize. He staggered, barely able to control himself. Jaktat advanced with his crackling spear raised. Randidly teleported to the side. He stumped his feet to regain some feeling in his limbs, but the motion gave Jaktat the second he needed. With his extra stats, he appeared in front of Randidly and slammed his spear into his stomach. Gasping, Randidly stumbled backward. Once more, his limbs were twitching. Jaktat pounced, his spear passing through Randidly's afterimage as the ghost hound vanished and appeared behind him. Jaktat's horrifying empowered stats allowed him to whip around. Baleful light, brilliantly bright in his eyes. Despite the quick reaction, Randidly unleashed a storm of blows that cut Jaktat in a half dozen places. Jaktat raised his head and laughed.
"Do you think this is enough? These small blows? I'll teach you to underestimate me."
Helen was surprised to note that the bags underneath his eyes began to purple, a strange spot of color on his gray body. Jaktat blurred into motion. He knocked aside Randidly's spear, deflected the quick counter-thrust with his forearm, and lanced the ghost hound through the side. Grimacing, Randidly sidestepped and used his strange teleporting attack to stick the head of his spear into the muscles of Jaktat's upper arm. The only result he earned was more deranged laughter. Jaktat's foot slammed into Randidly's wounded side and threw him across the deck of the ship. He rolled over the rough wood, leaving a trail of blood behind him. Jaktat followed with an easy saunter, confident in his victory. Meanwhile, Helen noticed the strange purple and black colors seep into Jaktat's arms.
"You pushed me to use a forbidden art," Jaktat said as he crossed the deck. "For that, you should be proud. At the end of this duel, I will devour your class and remember you forever, Randidly of the Emerald Eyes. You fought well for a fool."
"You want to devour my class?" Randidly swayed as he straightened.
Helen's heart tightened. The only reason he'd been able to get back to his feet was by leaning on his spear. He wasn't ready for another attack.
"We should..."
Helen whispered to Dveltian, but the older man shook his head slowly.
"This is his duel," Dveltian's expression twisted. "As his spear attendants, you must simply observe. Do not interfere."
"He will die,"
the male spear attendant said, rather unnecessarily, and from the tone of his voice, he was more confused than anything else.
"Maybe,"
was all Dveltian would say. Helen turned back to the battle. Jaktat had seized Randidly by the collar and lifted him off the ground. Randidly didn't even struggle. He just glared at Jaktat. Emerald met baleful.
"Please, Randidly, please. If you manage to win this, I..."
"Oh!" Jaktat blinked several times. His arms morphed into a bruised purple while his hands readjusted his grip unrandedly, as if he could not understand what was going on.
Why do you not have a class?
Crack! Randedly brought his hand down on one of the arms holding him. To Helen's surprise, the arm snapped. Randedly landed and blanched, clearly too wounded to stand. But Jacktat's forearm hit the deck, leaking black blood and pus.
And why? I feel so weak,
Jacktat mumbled, looking at the ground. He dropped his spear.
I should have more life to burn than this.
You should not have so casually taken my spear strikes, and you burning your life merely accelerated the process. Just give in and rot. I do not like to take your life, but... The ghost hound frowned and shook his head. His resolution returned. It is necessary.
Jacktat opened his mouth, then closed it. The purple rot crept up his neck at a visible pace. With painful slowness, Randedly altered his stance, took a step back, and raised his spear. Gray and purple mixed in Jacktat's body, turning him into a statue. Randedly thrust his spear, and even exhausted, the execution was flawless. It took his opponent through the heart. With a sigh, the rest of Jacktat's life passed from him, leaving a body slowly draining of blood, standing on the deck like a grotesque scarecrow. Chapter 97. For a long time, Randedly stared at the rotting body lying on the deck. It was frustrating in a way. Shaw claimed to be able to differentiate when or when not it was necessary to kill. And in his heart, he admitted that this was possible to an extent, and perhaps Shaw was even more skilled at it than he. Most likely more skilled, Randedly admitted to himself. The man this Jacktat worked for had a deep feud with Claptrap. Jacktat was also arrogant and petty. The reason he'd allowed Randedly to inflict so many wounds on him, utilizing Edge of Decay to slowly weaken him, was that Jacktat couldn't see past the fact that he was not an artisan. He was just a young disciple. And perhaps Jacktat hadn't even bothered to learn that. This was just another mission for Jacktat, a routine job of intimidation and retribution. This brought up another reason. Jacktat was not a good person. It was perhaps a flimsy reason, but it was a reason still. He would have made trouble in the future. He threatened their lives and livelihoods. He was not a good person. Was this enough? Was this motivation enough to take a life? Randedly winced and brought a hand to his side.
Plus, I almost bled out here. My health is under 20%.
Shaw remained silent below, stuck in some sort of training. Or, as Randedly actually suspected, dealing with the ether starvation he mentioned. If even Shaul was reduced to this sort of state by this, perhaps it was more troublesome than Randedly feared. Divot glanced at the long-sleeved woman across from him, who winked and flounced away, leaving them in peace. Then he sighed and turned to Randedly.
Congratulations. It was a well-fought match. That is the level of those I expect to be the contenders in the regional tournament. Although this man was beyond level 25, that is the type of opponent you will face. Are you prepared?
Randedly nodded, trying his best not to stare at the corpse that remained on the boat, bleeding out. Divot followed his gaze and sighed sorrowfully. He walked over to Randedly and clapped him on the back.
Shaul will be training for the next few days. We will need to leave in a week if we are to arrive in Dearden in time. You have already trained long hours in the prison. Why not take a break? Find your center. The regional tournament is long. Prepare yourself.
Divot turned away and glared at the male spear attendant, who was struggling to his feet.
Hey! Foolish training dummy. clean up this mess, and stop making such an aggrieved face. You may have outlasted your opponents in perversion, but that does not make your performance satisfactory in my mind. Not at all.
Randedly glanced around. Both Telef and Helen were sitting with their spears beside them. After a moment of hesitation, Randedly walked to the far end of the ship and took all the extra mana from his rings so he could summon a weeping cloud. It was nice for a while to just enjoy the cool feeling of rain. Relieving, too, after all of the pointless drama of the past half hour. This was just a random flailing of the merchant that tried to take over their boat. Randedly's mouth tightened at the thought of a serious organization moving against them while Shaw was occupied like this. Divot was strong, but it was clear that one person alone was enough to deal with him. That, or that mysterious woman, was very, very strong. Randedly supposed Divot already knew about Shaw's condition and wasn't willing to risk a full-on confrontation while Shaw was recuperating. Randedly grimaced. It just demonstrated how weak he was, that his fight didn't matter. There were much larger fish to fry than him. On the other hand, he'd done it, held his own against an artisan. Although washed up and idiotic as he was, it was an accomplishment. What chilled Randedly's heart was that Divot believed that level was what the regional tournament would be at. If Jaktat had been a little more intelligent with his moves or responsive to Randedly's strategy? No, it wouldn't do to think over much on it. What happened had happened. Randedly had taken the man's life. Something inside of Randedly was on fire, consuming his emotions and creating a surging heat that acted like an emotional smog, blinding him to the consequences. For now, Randedly wasn't willing to take the time to parse it apart. It was enough he was somehow invigorated, furious, and numb. Randedly looked up, surprised to find the male spear attendant had approached him.
Here. His tassel was with him. So?
It was a soft yellow, like honey mustard. Randedly took it in his hands and felt the rich material. He smiled bitterly. Perhaps the better comparison for the color would be the gold of merchants. But it was a much cheaper and shallow color than that.
You rip off a strip,
the male spear attendant said helpfully, his bruised and swollen face turning into a dreamy smile.
You can tie them to the pole that holds your tassel. Someday, it will be like a rising sun, or a rainbow, or...
Randedly ripped off a strip. Silently handed it all back to the man and turned away, his mood somehow turning even more sour. As the male spear attendant drifted off, Randedly brought up his status screen. It was still blurry because it had been less than 24 hours since he had taken the potion, but as he focused and concentrated, it slowly slid back into a more legible form. This part was sort of disturbing about the potion. Why did it also influence his status screen, and why did focusing on it help alleviate the effects? Either way, the battle against Jaktat earned him 1 skill level in Spear Mastery, 3 in Spear Phantom's Footwork, 2 in Eyes of the Spear Phantom and Phantom Half-Step, 1 in Fighting Proficiency, Block, Grace, and Haste, 2 in Empower, 7 in Edge of Decay, 2 in Idiosyncratic Cut, 3 in Struggle, 4 in Bacterial Regeneration, 1 in Superiority, and 3 in Second Wind. Randedly hesitated for a while, but it was better to do it now rather than wait until he had more path points built up. He put the path points into his Weeping Cloud path, earning himself some more resistance and willpower, and also some stats and chest pain from his soul skill. The addition again caused the rotation speed to increase to a level that was physically painful, and it took nearly 10 minutes for that to subside. Randedly sighed and closed his eyes, drifting closer to the soul skill, seeking his visualization of it. There it was, a barren plain now, as the grass was devoured by the strange emerald crystals, glowing with eerie power. The rot and ash came and went, strengthening and refining that strange substance further, coating the ground in a thin layer of constantly growing crystal. The world inside of himself, Randy realized, had died. Why, he wasn't really sure, but it was no longer the robust, changing world it had been previously. Opening his eyes, Randy considered his next steps. He had several days off. Well, that was nice, but... He smiled sardonically. He was very bad at taking a day off. It wasn't in his blood, at least not anymore. The question was just how to spend this time. Some of it would be spent engraving, which was a mana-consuming activity, and therefore useful, but that wouldn't be all that he did. Other than that, there was also the diary left by the spear phantom. What was that strange face underneath the cloak? Was there a secret hidden inside those final two moves of the spear phantom that Shaw was unable to master? Learning a story, and a distant one like you received from Artisan Dway, from people who weren't involved with the situation, was kind of off-putting in a way. After hearing it, Randidly had quite a few questions for Shaw. How much time did he spend with his father? Was the man really that bad? Although he had been away from Shaw most of Shaw's life, Randidly had also experienced that. His father was rarely around. Only he didn't have the visceral anger Shaw carried everywhere with him. Plus, Randidly already knew that if he went to Shaw and asked, he would be met with some dumb answer like, "If you know so much about it, why have me tell you more? Get to training." Or, "If a wise and learned disciple like you thinks so, who am I to disagree? Why do you even need a teacher when you are so wise? You may as well train on your own." All in all, questions would only lead to training. Perhaps he should ask Divot. After glancing at Divot and seeing the odd way he was moving his fingers, Randidly had the strangest sensation that asking him now would end poorly for him. There was a danger to those finger movements. Besides, he still had time. Randidly would ask later. For now, he needed to work on his three goals. Engraving, perceiving the words in the diary, and... Randidly grinned. He might as well indulge in one rest-like activity. His third activity would be cooking. Chapter 98. Helen wanted to be sympathetic, but just couldn't find it in herself to. She just tilted her head to the side and asked, "Still sick?" Telef glared briefly at her. He suppressed the uneasy expression, keeping his face blank.
"Unlike your exhaustion from earlier, ether poisoning doesn't just go away after rest. Leave me in peace."
Which, of course, made Helen want very much to torture him, but she decided she was in too good of a mood to bother with the stoic brute. After all, she also wanted to work on her own new moves. As she settled into her stance, she caught sight of a small boat bobbing over towards theirs, and a flash of anger raged through her. There was only one person on board, but still.
"These motherfuckers," Helen muttered,
eyes scanning around. Develtian was still sitting with his eyes closed, waving his fingers. The male spear attendant was rolling over to the side, fiddling with tassels. It didn't seem like Telef would be able to get up soon. With a great sigh and a bit of worry that she still hadn't recovered from her ether shortage, Helen walked to the edge of the boat. For a moment, she considered throwing something to upend the tiny thing until she recognized the leisurely, paddling, soft-looking individual.
"Ah, Clappy,"
Helen said lazily, almost disappointed. Sure, another fight would have been hard, but she felt strangely exhilarated by the thought of it, especially with her skill set evolution. She tried to quell that urge, because it would likely get her into a fight she couldn't win someday, though she didn't try too hard. After a life of having her mother breathing down her neck, it was nice to feel on top of the world.
"It would be even nicer to be on top of the ghost town,"
her mind commented slyly in her mother's voice. She shushed it and focused on the approaching merchant. His face brightened visibly when he saw her.
"Oh, you are the woman who knows so much about leather. Good, I came to see the ghost hound," He's fucking busy, Helen said, her voice chilly, the delivery abrupt. It was an effort of will not to grind her teeth. This fucking merchant showed up, and what did he do? Instantly ruined her mood by reminding her of all those years with her hair and clothes permeated by the disgusting smell of the tannery. It was impossible to breathe in her childhood without catching some whiff of the occupation of her family. Some bore it as a mark of pride. Those fucking ass cocks were not the type of people she wanted to associate herself with. She had finally managed to shake the feeling of connection to that dirty, small-minded place. And here was this piece of shit bringing it all right back. Oh, Claptrap wilted, and then glanced to the side where the ghost hound was very clearly engraving. His face transformed into a look of horror.
He's engraving? Right here, where everyone can see?
Helen shrugged. They all knew academically that the engraving guilds were an issue, but it was hard to focus on them as threats when other groups were actively attacking them. It was a matter of priorities, although Helen was no longer sure why the ghost hound was so incessantly engraving. She wasn't sure what he was doing with it, but it was pretty clear he didn't need the money. It was surely useful to train a skill and gather path points from it, so you could go through your chosen path. But this seemed to be more than that. After standing in silence for 30 seconds, Helen added,
He fucking likes the feeling of the rain while engraving. Is there a fucking problem?
No. Okay, well, please let him know that there will be a market day in 2 days, and I would appreciate if he could, or have you bring me any finished pieces he's made. I made an agreement with the Crashing Wave Style, and we will be selling some pieces publicly, so, well, yeah.
Goodbye,
Helen said simply, enjoying the indecision on Claptrap's face. It felt nice, in a way, to be so dismissive of him. Helen realized with a start that this was exactly the petty, small-minded way of dealing with things that her mother always employed. Flattering to her superiors, cold and disdainful to her inferiors. Helen's anger rose viciously, and she had to grind her teeth to throttle it down.
Yeah, I'll tell him. Eventually. So don't fucking worry. It's annoying, but, not a problem,
Helen said lamely, almost blushing at herself. She'd trained for years to handle things delicately, controlling her language and temper, even if she always raged on the inside. Outwardly, she was perfectly controlled. These weeks with the ghost hound and his teachers ruined that. Her explosions had become more public, and admittedly less caustic and destructive. She watched Claptrap leave, and then settled back into her stances. Epilogue. Shawl sat up, carefully conserving as much energy as possible. As if sensing Shawl's movement, Develtian appeared in the doorway, looking down at Shawl with glowing eyes.
I need a favor.
Shawl's voice was light and breathy, as he attempted to conserve energy any way he could. Develtian snorted.
Don't you always? From the day your father dropped you off with the Endless Heat Style, to the day you came back to us bearing the spear of the one they called the Devourer, you have always needed my help. And I have helped you as much as I could, because it is what my niece would have wanted.
Shawl's eyes tightened. If the woman Shawl considered his foster mother, Dorothy, hadn't gone looking for his father, if she hadn't been fed up with the fact Emont went to confront Hilting and failed to return for Shawl, well, Shawl might still be living peacefully with that style, content to forget about the father who pushed him and ignored him in equal measure. But she had her own feelings and had gone. So Shawl had pushed himself to the limit to train and followed her. The Spear of the Devourer might be the most widely known treasure Shawl obtained in the dwelling of Hilting, but it was by no means the heaviest. That honor went to the wizened and drained body of the woman who raised him. The silence stretched between them.
Shaul unwilling to expend his energy to speak more. Develtian seemingly content to brood in his thoughts. Luckily for Shaul, Develtian eventually looked up, fire in his eyes.
I know there are many things about what you found in the lair of Healthing that you are hiding, Develtian began. And I'm not going to demand answers, but you must tell me, why are you pushing yourself so? You seemed content to let yourself waste away in the aftermath. I let you because I knew it was just how you needed to grieve, but now, what changed?
A letter, Shaul whispered, forcefully remaining loose and relaxed in his body, even as every muscle wanted to clench in fury at the memory.
From Lucretia. Who is Lucretia?
Develtian's eyes were serious and lined at the edges, but there was something in his voice. Shaul blinked slowly, that sad note in his voice. Shaul had always known Develtian had adventures beyond the limits of the Spearman School's land, traveling through the other schools, learning his peculiar moves abroad. What that strange note told Shaul now was that Develtian recognized that name. He knew Lucretia. Shaul grinned, his hatred overflowing so much that he couldn't care about the ether expenditure.
Lucretia is a woman I must kill. She cursed the fate of my family and made us all into monsters.
Randidly laid back on the deck of the boat and watched the drifting clouds, pleased with the day. He wasn't sure why, but he really enjoyed the drifting clouds and the wide blue of the sky. His joints still ached from that fraught confrontation with Jaktat. Underneath the warm rays of the sun, it was easier to forget the horrible paleness of Jaktat's eyes, and his inflamed purple veins as he succumbed to poison. Randidly pressed his eyes shut and tried not to imagine the gruesome death painted on the inside of his eyelids.
Take a breath. Enjoy the peace. You have some days off, and soon you'll be able to start cooking as a distraction.
Randy really, really did try for almost 10 minutes. However, centering and grounding himself hadn't been the coping mechanism that got him to this point. Training was. He hopped to his feet and went to his interior cabin for his training spear. Taped to the front of his cabin door, he found the Spear Phantom's diary and a note written in Shaul's hand. Gone ahead to handle some issues. Don't wait for me. Registration for the regional tournament is in 5 days. Do not disappoint me. There wasn't even a signature. Randidly was deeply puzzled. There was something very strange about Shaul recently. The Shaul randomly encountered in the dungeon was laid back, but powerful, in a restrained way. This new Shaul, he assumed the increased violence was part of the training, but now, with Shaul abandoning him so suddenly, when their stated goal was so close, without any guidance, that seemed irresponsible at best. Trying not to read too much into the message, he returned to the upper deck. He was surprised to find the ship no longer deserted. During his short stint in the belly of the vessel, Helen had returned and was studiously practicing her spear forms. Randidly almost swayed from the abruptness with which he ceased moving and watched her for a time. As she spun and thrust with her spear, the air rippled around her with a familiar edge. A competitive, harsh thread rose in his chest. Even after this short a time, Helen had developed her own buds of battle intent that could affect the environment.
Are you just going to watch?
Randidly started. Helen thumped her spear shaft against the wooden deck and tilted her head to the side. A crooked smile spread across her face, complemented by a confusing and complex knot of emotions thick in her bright eyes. When she spoke, her voice was almost mocking.
What is it? Afraid I'll catch up with you?
Yes, randomly admitted.
Helen launched herself upward, slamming to the ground in front of him. She prowled forward, jabbing at him with the tip of her spear.
Hey, asshole, I might be your spear attendant, but that doesn't mean you can just disrespect me.
What are you talking about?
Randomly took a single step backward to avoid the tip drawing a thin line of blood across his shoulder.
That was battle intent, right? You can see the difference already. You really are improving.
You?
Helen regarded him with suspicion for several seconds. Then, like a fist uncurling, the lines on her face disappeared.
You're being serious.
Do I usually joke around?
No, but just after that fight you had against Jacktat, it's almost an insult for you to compliment me. I just end up comparing myself to your speed of improvement and want to swallow my own spear point first.
Randomly snorted, unable to help himself. Helen scowled and folded her arms.
Think that's funny? You have no idea how aggravating it is to even be near you. Who wouldn't get discouraged by your shitty talent?
You,
randomly grinned, confident in his answer. Her eyes flared, driven by some deep offense he didn't understand, and he found himself continuing to explain.
That's why we work so well together, right? Probably better than the other two spear attendants, because we both get it. If we don't get stronger, we'll someday die.
Holding on to nothing but regrets,
Helen whispered. For a moment, Randy's breath caught in his throat. Because in that small phrase was a gulf of emotions Helen probably carried around with her every moment of the day. And just feeling the fleeting corner of that wound took him right back to those first days of the system, trapped in the dungeon, where his days alternated between running for his life and being safe but unable to move, shaken by how precipitous the drop would have been had he made even the slightest mistake. The memories tightened around his soul, thickening in a layer of metaphysical frost that made it difficult to think about anything else. Helen broke the shift of his thoughts with her next words.
You believe in me?
Her voice was filled with wonder as she considered him. Randomly opened his mouth to agree, but she leaned forward and brushed her lips against his. The touch was brief and warm. She leaned back, her amber eyes vulnerable.
On the day I catch up and become stronger than you, I'm going to make you my husband.
Randy's jaw worked soundlessly as she spun away and hurried below decks. Missy Carp pushed back the empty plate and patted her stomach.
My, my, Bobby Tucker, you certainly didn't lie about those dumplings.
The old woman offered Missy a prim smile.
Well, thank you. Truth be told, the recipe matters not much at all. The true secret is making it with those you love.
She reached out and pressed her hand fondly against the forearm of the young man next to her. After a near imperceptible flinch from Bobby Taka's touch, Ryoji Taka offered a smile and put his hand over hers. To Missy's eyes, the expression appeared forced.
Obviously, we here at Franksburg are thrilled to have you, Madam Taka,
Missy continued, staring daggers at the Ryoji in front of her.
Please return to your chambers and make yourself comfortable. Ryoji and I have a bit of business to discuss.
After patting her grandson on the arm, Bobby Taka left the room. As soon as she was out of earshot, Missy picked up a steak knife and whipped it toward Ryoji, flecks of dumpling sauce flinging in every direction. Ryoji flinched and scrambled backward, the contours of his face lifting away from his skull. A crumpled bit of tan skin peeled off, revealing a nervous-looking Ezzy. He hastily caught the lump and winced as the knife slammed into his side. Luckily, he was only hit with the handle.
Seriously, this whole performance is disgusting, Missy muttered. Sure, fine. You did good bringing such a useful classer down here. However, you do realize you need to play house with this woman for as long as she stays here. I definitely think a part of her knows you aren't her grandson.
That tribulations item can't disguise that, but she's broken enough to ignore it, which she'll continue to do as long as you smile like a good, polite grandson.
Ezzy lowered his gaze. Missy sighed.
What did you say it was again?
The tribulation said it was a piece of his fate, Ezzy shrugged when Missy turned an annoyed scowl at him. He gave it to me as insurance, in case he died. I was to use it to make trouble for the ghost hound and Donnington.
That's going to be damn hard, even if Bobby Taka can replicate physical items.
Missy's jowls trembled as she glared down at the table. Ezzy cleared his throat.
Actually, I discovered something today. I think because the monster used the face for it, Ryoji was easy. But when I really focus...
To demonstrate, Ezzy fitted the item back in place. Instantly, his features morphed into Ryoji's. After a few seconds passed, they began to shift, and the rather nondescript and rounded features of Ezzy formed through the mask.
With enough time, I could probably make any face, Ezzy said.
Oh, Ezzy.
Missy released a small laugh, her eyes glittering.
Only a poor idiot like you would think of wasting this on your own face. Yes, that tribulation can rest in peace, because with this mask and any face we want, I don't think it will be difficult at all to make trouble for Donnington.
This is the end of The Legend of Randidly Ghost Hound 2, a lit RPG adventure, a Podium Audio production. If you enjoyed this audiobook, we would love for you to rate and review it. For more legendary lit RPG, check us out at podiumaudio.com and sign up for our newsletter. We promise we won't spam you. Also, consider joining our community of listeners, fans, and trolls on social media. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. We'd love to connect. You have been listening to The Legend of Randidly Ghost Hound 2, a lit RPG adventure. Book 2 of The Legend of Randidly Ghost Hound, produced by Emily Durr, written by Norit Flood, writing as Puddles 4263, performed by McLeod Andrews, a member of SAG-AFTRA. Text copyright 2022 by Athon Books, LLC. Production copyright 2022 by Podium Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.